Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Hey, welcome to Liquid, everybody. I'm Pastor Kyra, and can we give a big welcome to Church Online and all of our locations joining us today? Man, we're so glad that you're here for week two of our summer series, Through You, which is all about how God wants to bless your world this summer, your neighborhood, your community, your workplace, through you. Last week, Pastor Tim showed us five simple ways that you can bless your neighbors right where you live, at home, the beach, at work, the gym, the backyard barbecue. And as a follower of Jesus, how can you build bridges of faith to folks who are close to you but far from God without being weird? Because the truth is, God wants to share his love with ordinary people through you. Now, last week, we gave you a little card that looks like this. I want you to pull it out, and if you're watching online, can you click the link on the chat if you're here in any one of our locations? Can you hold it up if you've got it? Because if you didn't get one, we want you to raise your hand and our hospitality team will come and give you one. Now, our summer adventure is based on two questions. You can actually read them on the back of this card. The first says, who is close to you that is far from God, and who is hurting that needs your help? You know, Pastor Tim challenged all of us to write down the names of two people in your world. Could be in your neighborhood, the lady who lives next door to you, your workout buddy from the gym, a mom from playgroup, the new family at the end of the cul-de-sac, or across the hall in your apartment building. Do you know someone who is close to you that's far from God, who God wants you to bless this summer? Well, for me, one of those people is my friend Maria. You know, I met her at Orange Theory because last year I decided I wanted to be in the best shape of my life by the time that I turn 50 years old. And just to be clear, people, that is almost a decade away, okay? Slow down. I just like to give myself a long runway to crush my goals. And so I joined Orange Theory, or OTF, and I started working out. And it's funny because when I first started going, I didn't tell anyone that I was a pastor. I didn't want anyone to be turned off before they actually got a chance to get to know me. And so I just wanted to show up in that space as a woman who wanted to improve her physical health. And over time, I started noticing that Maria would go to the same evening classes as I would, and we started to get to know each other. She's a 29-year-old scientist. Her mother immigrated from Colombia. She speaks Espanol like I do. Turns out she went to Randolph High School, which is where my daughter currently goes. And we've gotten to know each other. We've exchanged phone numbers. We make plans to meet up at certain classes. And so when Pastor Tim issued the challenge last week, she was the one who immediately came to my mind. And so I wrote down her name right here on this card, and I've started praying for her and asking God to show me how can I bless her this summer. Who did God call to mind? Did he call to mind the name or face of a neighbor or coworker for you to bless this summer? What did you write? You know, I was curious, so I asked a couple of people, like, hey, who did you write? Like, who was your person? And I got everything and everyone from someone who's in their martial arts class to a brand new neighbor who moved to town to their new au pair who just moved in from Australia. And I want you to keep this card because I want you to keep their name and their face in mind as I speak today. Because when I say bless, I'm talking about God's strategy to bless your neighbor. Last week, we learned that God's plan for restoring our broken world, it's based on a blessing strategy, B-L-E-S-S. B stands for begin with prayer. You simply ask God, which people are you inviting me to bless today in my neighborhood, at work, the coffee shop, the gym? Who can I bless right where I live, work, eat, or play? L is for listen. Don't talk, but listen. Listen to people, their struggles, their pains, in the places that God has already positioned you. You be a friend and care for them. E is for eat. You can't just check this off. It's not quick. You actually sit down and you break bread. You share a meal with people. You go for drinks or a cup of coffee. It builds relationships. You see, Jesus is doing this all the time with people who didn't know God yet. The S stands for serve. We want to serve them because if you listen to people and you eat with them, they will tell you how you can love them. And you're going to know how to serve them in practical ways, no strings attached. And then the final S stands for story. When the time is right, after you've established trust through your relationship, then and only then do you share the story of how Jesus has impacted your life. That's it. That's the outline of our whole series, BLESS, 5 Simple Ways to Love Your Neighbors this summer. So we're sending you out, Liquid, on a summer adventure with Jesus. We want you to get out of the church and into your backyards and beaches. We want you to bless your neighbors right where you live, where you work, where you eat, where you play, because you are not here or there by accident. God put you there on purpose and for a purpose, and that is to bless people through you. Now, today I want to show you how the first 2 steps in the bless strategy begin with prayer and listen. Look in the real life story of a man named Phil. Philip was an early follower of Jesus, and his story is told in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And this is a fascinating story because if you've ever wondered, does God really still speak to his people? Like, how do I know it's God's voice speaking and not my own? How do I know when I should follow a nudge from God or take a risk to talk with someone about Jesus? Well, Philip's story is going to spark some ideas. But first, I want to give you some context of our story. So after Jesus was crucified and he was resurrected, he gathered his disciples. He told them he was going to send them out to bless the world. But first, Jesus told them he was going away. He was going back to heaven. And understandably, the disciples were heartbroken. They didn't know how they were going to bless the world without their teacher, Jesus. But Jesus told them, I have good news for you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to guide you into all truth. And that's exactly what's happening here with Philip. By then, the early church was rapidly growing. There were a lot of Jews who spoke Greek and a lot of Gentiles who were joining the church. And the disciples, they were not able to keep up with the demands of leading such a large church. So they actually chose leaders who spoke Greek to help them. And Philip was one of those people. Philip was a Greek Jew in a culture of Hebrew Jews. And Philip's ministry was so powerful that he became known as an evangelist. And so I want to read to you his story in Acts chapter 8. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch replied and asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Now, this is a long story, but I'm going to break it down to you, okay? Philip is going about his day when all of a sudden God says, Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So God gives Philip directions, and he points him to a very specific location. He says, Philip, I want you to go down south to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, I was just there last month. I want to show you in a map where Jerusalem is. Here is where Jerusalem is. Here is where Gaza is, and that is the road that we take between these two cities, and our bus actually drove down there last May when we were there. Now, I want you to understand, Philip is traveling this path by foot. It's at least 50 miles, so understand he has to walk almost 4 days to get to where he's going. So I think we can all acknowledge right from the very beginning that God's directions most likely feel like an interruption. I mean, think about it. Philip is going about his business when all of a sudden God says, Philip, I want you to go south down a road, and that's it. No more explanations, no other details, just a message that God wants Philip in a new direction. And Philip's day, make no mistake, has been interrupted. And probably he's not too thrilled where God told him to go. I mean, the desert's a barren, dry, hot, lonely place. But God says, go and await further instructions. Now, can I ask you a question? Would you go? Because I think if we're all honest for a minute, going where the Spirit sends us can feel scary at times. In fact, sometimes I think one of our biggest fears in following God's Spirit in our daily lives is that we're scared about where He might ask us to go. Because who wants to go to the desert? Not me, that's for sure. But perhaps God is maybe directing you to go sit next to that girl in Pilates, to walk across the swimming pool and introduce yourself to the new mom. Hey, maybe it's not 50 miles, but God could be giving you directions to cross your yard and talk to your neighbor as he mows the lawn. I want you to understand that as you set out to bless people, God will give you directions. And then don't be surprised when those directions are for a divine appointment. Because look at what happens next. Philip prayerfully listens to the Spirit's nudge to go down south, and he sets out to do as he's asked. He's not really sure where this is going to lead. So he started out, and on his way, he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. Now, guys, I'm pretty sure that to Philip, the Holy Spirit's nudge must have seemed random at first. Like, what is it about this Ethiopian guy? And also, why Philip? But the fact is, God chose Philip in particular to be the man who met this eunuch for a specific reason. It's not random at all. You see, this Ethiopian eunuch was very different from Philip. Philip was a Jew. This guy was from Ethiopia. And in those days, Ethiopia, it was considered the literal ends of the earth by the Greeks and the Romans. They believed you could not go further than that without falling off the map. And the name Ethiopia, it means burnt-faced people, indicating their black skin. So there was a racial disconnect between them. And on top of that, this guy was a eunuch, means he was castrated, which seems weird to us, but was very common in African culture at the time. Now, Philip himself, he was a Greek Jew in a culture of Hebrew Jews. So Philip knows what it's like to be a minority, to have a different cultural background. Philip understood what it was like to be at the margins of society. So it's not a random coincidence that God prepared and chose Philip to reach out to a eunuch from another culture. Just like it's not a coincidence that God prepared and chose me to reach out to and bless my friend Maria. I mean, think about it, guys. What are the chances that out of everyone who goes to an Orange Theory class, this Puerto Rican pastor would consistently work out next to a 21-year-old Spanish-speaking Colombian? Come on, people, who went to the same high school that my daughter is going to now. Spoiler alert, it's not a random coincidence, all right? Last week, Maria introduced me to her mom, and can I tell you what we did? We talked in Espanol. Todo el tiempo, the whole time, the whole hour. We bonded over our mutual love for Shakira, bless those hips, and café con leche, okay? Can I state the obvious? It's clear. God gives you directions for divine appointments. He had a divine appointment for Philip. He had a divine appointment for me. And guess what? God has a divine appointment for you. Why is it divine? Because God's given you unique experiences, common interests that He's going to use to connect you to other people in ways that you don't even see coming. I mean, He used Espanol and fitness in my case. For you, maybe it's your love of cooking. Maybe it's your background. Maybe it's your kids' schools. Whatever it is, God is going to use all of these things to bless others. Just like he prepared Philip and he prepared me, he's been preparing you to bless the people in your life too. And you know what's really cool? Is that you're never going to know the parts of your story that God's going to use to reach the people you're close to and transform them. When Philip listened to the Spirit, he may have thought, well, maybe the Ethiopian is just lost. Like, maybe the guy's just sitting there in his chariot and he's just reading a map. But here's what verse 27 says. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. And seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from a book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, it is significant that this eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, because even though he'd never heard of Jesus, he was obviously seeking God, so much so he was willing to travel quite a distance to show that he was serious about this, because the trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, it would have taken over 100 days round trip. It's 50 days each way. So this guy, he's actually seeking God, and he's making quite an effort to learn about him. And this is when things get interesting, because the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Now, you have to get this sense. God has something in mind right now in this moment in the story. Like, something big is going to happen. And to Philip's credit, he actually doesn't know what's going to happen, but he does exactly what God asks. Because in order to be people who bless other people, as we begin with prayer, we're also going to need to respond to the Spirit's nudges. Like, you should expect God's going to give you nudges, little whispers, promptings for you to engage people who are far from Jesus. And sometimes they won't necessarily make sense in the moment. And by the way, that is one of the ways that you know those promptings are from God. Because the majority of the time, they will be things that feel awkward or embarrassing or even downright strange. And the flesh, it's always going to want to say no to those things, because the flesh will always choose what is safe and comfortable over what is uncomfortable. You know, this past May, my mom visited me, spent a few weeks with us in New Jersey from Puerto Rico. And one morning we were catching up and, you know, we're sharing with each other like what the Lord is doing in our lives. And my mom told me that a few days before hopping on a plane to come home, she'd gotten in her car in San Juan to run an errand. And so she got to an intersection, and there was one car in front of her when the traffic light changed from red to green. But the car that was in front of her didn't really move. And for some reason, my mom, who is not the most patient woman in the world, bless her heart, decided she wasn't going to honk her horn. She'd just wait and see. And she said to me, Kyra, I don't know why I didn't honk my horn at the car, but instead I just chose to wait and see if he was going to move on. But he didn't, because the car was at a complete stop, even though the light was green. And at this point, as you can imagine, there's like a line of cars behind them. My mom could see people are getting impatient, when all of a sudden she said she heard the Spirit give her a nudge to get out of your car and go over to that car in front of you. Now, as you can imagine, that felt weird to my mom. Like, she was like, what? I'm in the middle of an intersection, Lord. Are you kidding me? Like, I can't get out of my car. But she said the Lord kept nudging her, prompting her, and she couldn't ignore that God truly did want my mom to get out of the car and go over to the car that was in front of her. And so with some trepidation, my mom actually did what God told her to do. And when she walked over to that car, what she saw was a young man, hands on the steering wheel, his head was on the steering wheel, and he was crying, like he was crying his eyes out. And my mom said, I felt the Spirit tell me to rub his back in a motherly way and just tell him that God loved him. Now, again, my mom's not someone that goes around touching strange men. She's been married to the same man for 47 years. But she's also a mom, right? She's very maternal. And in that moment, she felt the Spirit tell her, I just want you to rub this man's back. And she understood God was going to use her to provide comfort to this man. So she stretched out her arm through the car's window and she started rubbing circles on this man's back. And she said, ¿Cómo te llamas? What's your name? And he said, Miguel. And my mom started speaking. And she just said, Miguel, I don't know what's going on, but Jesus told me to tell you he loves you. And he doesn't want you to lose hope. And as soon as she said this, she said the man started shaking because he was sobbing so much. And he told her how completely hopeless he had been feeling that day, wondering, does anybody in the world ever even care about me? And my mom was actually able to pray for him. And again, that can feel a little awkward because she didn't really know him. But God used my mom that day in the middle of a busy intersection with cars piled up behind them to help that man feel God's love for him and fill him with hope. Isn't that amazing, guys? Guys, God is going to give you directions for divine appointments. His promptings, his nudges, they will come in the form of interruptions and they will feel awkward and weird. My mom's day was interrupted. She just wanted to run an errand. Philip's day was certainly interrupted. Can I ask, what about you? Are you interruptible? Or are you too busy to take the time to sit down and have a coffee with someone or chat with that person that the Lord is putting in front of you? Are you going to listen to God's directions to go over and sit next to that lonely girl in summer class? To go over and introduce yourself to the new family across the streets? To go over and invite your new coworker over for dinner on Friday night? To go over and at the neighborhood block party stand next to the awkward guy and actually talk to him? Because it's in these moments that, man, our flesh, it's always going to prefer our comfort. Because all of these things, truthfully, they can be awkward. I mean, I would rather sit with my friends at summer school or go play cornhole at the block party with the cool kids or even invite people for dinner that I already know than put myself out there and do something different. That's what my flesh prefers. But while I prefer that, you know what? I also want to have the sort of heart that's open to the Holy Spirit's promptings. Because it takes a willing heart to lean into what God is doing, and that's exactly how Philip responds. Scripture tells us, the Spirit tells Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. And look what Philip did. Philip ran over and heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. And I love that Philip doesn't debate with God. He doesn't say, I don't know that I should go. Should I go? I'm all over the options. The Bible says Philip runs over and starts talking to the man. He senses the Spirit is nudging him. He instantly obeys. And as he draws closer to the man, sure enough, he hears the man is reading from the prophet Isaiah. So the guy is reading the Bible. Right? Imagine you go to Starbucks and you see someone reading from the Bible, like someone who isn't yet a Christian but has a spiritual interest. Can you imagine that? Because I think right now people act like the world is hostile to faith. And make no mistake, in many ways it is. It's not popular to be a person of faith, and the world can be hostile against Christianity. But the reality is people are way more ready than you realize. You know, I think sometimes we assume people aren't interested in God unless they come to church or ask us spiritual questions, but it's not true, which is why sometimes the best thing that we can do is ask questions instead of waiting for people to ask you questions. And that's exactly what Philip does. He asked, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And so he urges Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. Guys, this is a wonderful example of spiritual friendship, because that's what blessing people with the gospel is. It's being sensitive to God's leading, believing that he puts people in our paths on purpose and that he's already working in their lives. And all we simply need to do is obey the Spirit's nudges to share. Because people are more ready than you realize to learn about God and the hope that is offered through faith in Jesus. Let me tell you what I mean. Last May, I went to pick up my son Andy at aftercare. I ran into a mom that I know, and I casually mentioned to her that I just returned from Israel. And immediately her face light up and she was like, I've always been intrigued about Israel and its connection to the Bible. And so I told her, well, you know, I'm a pastor, like, I can help you with that. And she invited me to coffee. She said, you think we can get together and chat more? And it's in that moment I realized people are more ready than you realize. It's true for my friend, and it was true for this eunuch. He didn't know Jesus, but he wanted to know more about God. He traveled a long distance and was trying to read and understand the Old Testament. In fact, the passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak for his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Far from hating the Bible, most people are really curious about it. Because do you know what verse the eunuch is reading from? It's Isaiah 53. And out of all of the passages in the Old Testament that he could have been reading, there is no better chapter for explaining what Jesus did for us than Isaiah 53. And Philip knows this, which is why he doesn't waste an invitation to tell the eunuch all about Jesus, who came to suffer and die as a humble servant on the cross for our sins, in our place, to reunite us to God. In fact, here's what Isaiah 53 actually says. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole, whipped so we could be healed. And I can just imagine when the eunuch is reading this and he's asking Philip, who is this talking about? Like, is he talking about Isaiah or is it someone else? And Philip responds is that he begins that with, it says, then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. What does Philip tell the eunuch? That it was Christ who was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. That on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin so that we could be forgiven. And if you're humble enough to receive that forgiveness, he will give you eternal life with God forever. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that salvation is free. That's how you get to heaven. Not because of what you do for God, but because of what God did for you through Christ Jesus. People are more ready than you realize to hear the good news of the gospel. But you have to begin with prayer, and you have to be willing to listen, which is the second step of our blessed strategy. Now, I just want to acknowledge, oh my gosh, listening is hard. And sadly, when we don't listen to people, it makes them feel unheard, which makes them feel unknown, and ultimately leaves them feeling unloved. But that's why the key to effective listening is asking excellent questions. That's what Philip did. He asked the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? He didn't ask the guy, hey, are you reading the Bible? He meets the guy where he's already at. And guys, by the way, pause. I totally get it, all right? It's not like you're, you know, waiting in line at the water park and you see someone is reading the book of Revelations and they say to you, hey, can you tell me about the Bible? I get it. That's not going to happen. But there are questions that you can ask that will lead to great conversations. In fact, I was at the lake 2 weeks ago with my son Andy, and I ran into a mom that I hadn't seen in a while, and so we started catching up. Hey, how's your summer going? Been to the shore yet? Any fun plans? And we started trading stories, you know, catching up, and I told her, you know, I really love like all the freedom that summer brings from all the crazy schedules, but can I tell you, man, it's hard to have the kids home all day, isn't it? Like, what's been the hardest part for your summer? Oh my gosh, like the floodgates opened by me asking her that question. Like, she literally started to tell me, my gosh, my son is so addicted to technology. All he does is play video games. I can't get him to do anything. It is so bad. She actually started to cry. Guys, the key to effective listening is asking excellent questions. And Jesus is our ultimate model on what it means to do this really well. Like, I mean, the Gospels are full of stories, man, where Jesus just shows up, ask questions, and listens. And Jesus always listened to people's hearts. Not just the words that came out of people's mouths, but their hurts and their needs and their pain. Can I ask, what about you? Do you know how to listen to a person's heart? Like, when was the last time that you listened to the single mom who lives nearby and asks her how she's doing, like really doing? Or stop what you were doing to ask the person something in the cubicle next to yours and really listen to what they need. Or just slow down enough to ask your friend, how's her husband after recovering after surgery? And just listening to her heart. You know, last fall I completed in Orange Theory's version of a triathlon. You have to row, run, and complete some body weight exercises. And we had an opportunity to do the triathlon as a relay race, and Maria and I, we decided we were gonna do it together. So we trained together, we took all the classes that we needed to, and on the day of the event, man, we helped each other through that long race. It was long. I mean, when I got tired from running on the treadmill, she jumped on the treadmill next to me. She was cheering me on, you can do it, dale, tú puedes. When she got tired from the weight exercises, I came up with a little cheer like, dale, Maria, tú puedes. And at the end of the event, we got our medals, and we were so happy. We were so proud of each other. And 2 days later, I met up with her at the gym. I was still on a high when I noticed, like, she sort of looked a little down. And I asked her, like, hey, todo bien, like, how's your day? Is everything okay? And she told me, oh, man, I've had such a bad day at work. And I asked her, well, tell me, what's going on? What do you mean? And she started sharing with me her story, that she'd been experiencing bullying at work. And bullying was something that she was painfully familiar with, because as she started sharing her story and I started listening to her heart, I actually discovered Maria came to this country from Colombia when she was 12 years old. She didn't speak a single word of English, so she had to go to ESL, and all of the kids at school would make fun of her when she mispronounced words, and of course, you know, she has an accent, and so it caused her tremendous social anxiety, something that she still struggles with today as a 29-year-old woman. And her bad day at work as an adult was causing her to relive some of the pain of her teenage years. And can I just tell you guys, my mother's heart for her was just so full of compassion. All I did was ask one question, what's going on? And then I listened to her heart. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to pray for her, because most people aren't looking for solutions. Did you know that? They're just looking for support. That's how God works. And it's how he moved in the life of the eunuch. I want to finish the story with you. It says that as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Guys, Philip began his day prayerfully listening to the Spirit. He felt a nudge to go meet the eunuch on the road, and he obeyed God's directions, which led to a divine appointment where Philip told the eunuch about Jesus. The eunuch believed, and then he was baptized. Believed and be baptized, because that's how we're told to roll. So understand, God didn't just save a single soul when the Ethiopian eunuch believed the good news. He introduced salvation to an entire nation. The eunuch's conversion brought Christianity to an entirely new continent, into the power structures of the African government. That's why the northern part of Ethiopia today is Orthodox Christian, not Muslim. We tend to be so limited, thinking only about the one person that's in front of us, but God has in mind the ripple effect. He's changing families, communities, states, and entire nations. So don't miss this, because who knows who might end up in a baptism tub at Liquid this fall because you took the time to pray and to listen to them this summer. Don't be too quick, man, to spend your summers with a jam-packed schedule, zero margin, and not prayed up. Because if you do, you're going to miss out on a holy moment that the Lord may have for you. That's what being sensitive to the Spirit is all about. And that's how I want to remain for my own friend, Maria. Her story is still in progress, church. But can I tell you about a really cool thing that happened last Christmas? I felt the nudge from the Holy Spirit to go over and invite her to the Christmas outreach. And again, I was a little unsure. I felt a little awkward after the Holy Spirit put that nudge in my heart, to be honest, because I was like, oh, I don't know, will she like it? But I thought she did. She would. And so I invited her. I had a feeling after hearing her story about bullying that her heart has a natural bent for justice. And I felt like I think she'd be open to giving her time to come and help feed hungry kids. And you know what? I was right. And on December 2nd, 2022, Maria Zamora came to Liquid Church for the first time and packed meals for hungry kids in the Philippines. She now knows that I'm a pastor. She knows that I serve here at Liquid. We're friends on social media. Anytime I post stuff about the messages that I preach here, she gives me hearts and likes. And you know what? I'm trusting God for the outcome of her story. I wish I could tell you that her story ended, you know, with her conversion to Liquid. But that's part of following the Holy Spirit. I mean, it would be awesome if I could tell you that Maria came to Liquid, accepted Christ on the spot, but it's not always like that, and that's okay. Because if you really believe in the power of divine appointments, that your life is about following God's leading and trusting God's timing, then you can trust him with the outcome too. I want you to read what says in Romans 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Guys, it is incredible to know that as the Holy Spirit gives us nudges and directions, some that will be uncomfortable or awkward, God is reminding us in his word that as we pray for him, he prays for us. We pray to God and the Spirit prays for us. And I'm just so thankful that on that day I got to give a touch from God to Maria. And maybe for the first time, she felt the love of a heavenly Father who loves her so much and cares for her deeply. I hope she felt cared for and known, even for just a moment. I'm convinced my interaction with Maria, that wasn't a human interruption. That was a divine appointment. It wasn't on my calendar. It actually wasn't part of my goal. I went to Orange Theory because I just wanted to work out and get in shape. That was my to-do list. But now I realize I went to work out, but God is asking me to bless people who are in desperate need of his word. Can I tell you, some of the holiest work that I do as a pastor nowadays happens under the orange lights of the gym, where I'm working out at night next to people who've become close to me but are far from God. And I love hanging out after class. I love listening to their stories. I love leaving them with hope. And I believe that today's message is preparing you to pay attention as God gives you directions for divine appointments. He's going to put someone in your path. Maybe today's the day that God has told you he put that person in your life on purpose for ordinary, everyday whispers and impressions, promptings to go over and walk across the room, to go over to that guy and be willing to listen to their heart. They may not be like you. You may not feel prepared, but God's been preparing you for this moment. He's put you in the life of certain people, not just to be their friends, but to bear witness to Jesus. So these are the two steps that I want to challenge two groups of people to take today. If you don't know who you can bless this week, can I encourage you to begin with prayer? To ask God, Lord, will you give me an opportunity this week? Speak to me. Show me who's the person you want me to go over and speak to. If you already know who the person is, then I want you to be prepared to listen. Remember, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, and that was on purpose. So all the pressure is off. The next time you see that person over coffee or at school or wherever you meet, just listen to their heart. Because remember, people are more ready than you realize. All you have to do is ask great questions, and you'll be able to listen to their heart. Are you guys ready? I hope that you are, because I cannot wait to see what God is going to do through each of you this summer. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for this amazing story that we get to live out in Acts, even today, this summer. Lord, I pray that you would embolden our hearts and give us vision to see the person who you want us to have a divine appointment with. Help us to obey the Spirit's promptings, Lord, and then help us to listen. I thank you for the opportunities that we get to be salt of the world, Lord, and light of the world. And so I just pray everybody here today would go out and be not just hearers of this word, but doers of your word. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.